The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Let's start with the construction industry. You might have seen these comments from Conor Gray. He is an engineering contractor with a firm called Mercury, and he suggested yesterday that the reason, one of the reasons, in fairness, one of the reasons that so few people, or that not enough people, were taking up trades and apprenticeships was because young people are too lazy to get up and work at 7 o'clock in the morning. So Kira and Shane, as you'd imagine, talked about it this morning at 7 o'clock on News Talk Breakfast. Take a listen.
None of us particularly like getting up very early in the morning. I don't like it myself. I do it because I am lucky enough to have a decent job and a well-paid job and those types of things. But if I was going to be on 200 quid a week as an apprentice, would I want to do it? No, I absolutely wouldn't. And I think young people are behaving in a rational way. We live in a prosperous economy, whether we like it or not, whether we poor mouth it or not, whether we hair shirt it or not.
Is this about prosperity?
I think 30 years ago people would have got up at that time. Yeah, because we were in recession and unemployment was high and people were desperate for jobs.
Now you've got choice.
There is choice here now, and that's what happens in prosperous economies, and that's why there's influx of migrants, you know, economic migrants.
But does that make us ultimately uncompetitive?
Well, of course it probably does, or equally then we just get people who come in from poorer economies to work in our economy, and they live here and the economy grows and becomes
more vibrant.
And then
they go home bringing those skills with them, and we're left
maybe. I don't know, but I think this, I don't think young people are inherently lazy. I think young people, if they're incentivized in the same way as older people are, they're perfectly happy to work hard. They're perfectly rational. But nobody wants to get out of bed at the crack of dawn for pennies.
All right. That was Shane and Kira's views anyway on whether young people are too lazy to get up and work at 7 o'clock in the morning or whether it's just a symptom of a prosperous economy. Well, Brian Nolan is the Assistant General Secretary of the Connect Trade Union. Brian, you're very welcome to the show. Are young people just indolent, Brian? Is that the problem?
Hey, Kieran, thanks very much. I wouldn't say so, not at all. Apprenticeships are something that's very near and dear to the trade union movement's heart. I mean, Connect Trade Union would represent 21 of the various craft apprenticeships that exist. And for 102 years of our existence, there's been peaks and troughs in apprenticeship interest for various reasons. I don't think the difficulty of setting an alarm clock is one of the major factors, not myself. And to be fair to Mercury Engineering, they have delivered, you know, at this stage, probably thousands of craft workers to the industry at a high level. So they are one of the more reputable contractors out there, to be fair to them. But there are a number of difficulties. I mean, at present we have, not just because of COVID, but prior to COVID, we've had a huge backlog building in the system because, particularly for electrical apprentices and then onto the plumbing and pipe fitting apprentices, we've had a massive interest for a number of years. So the system is definitely clogged, and that's been exacerbated by the COVID restrictions. So we do have young lads and girls looking at the rates of pay, and they're prolonged now because of the delays in the apprenticeship system. So I think when a young lad or girl takes up an apprenticeship, they accept that the rates of pay are low because it's earned while you learn. And the benefit of it is by the end of your apprenticeship, you become a craft worker that can work internationally. And our craft workers are recognised internationally as among the best, if not the best. And that's down to the joint approach between workers and the good employers in the industry. So I think the obstacles to getting people into apprenticeship are different from the alarm clock scenario. I think we have other situations where a feature of construction, for example, and not every apprenticeship is in construction, a feature of construction now is this bad practice of bogus self-employment where individuals come in and pay tax a certain way and portray themselves as self-employed. And they cannot employ an apprentice. So we have trades like carpentry, bricklaying, apprenticeship, and many others that are damaged by the fact that the people in the trade aren't passing those skills down to the next generation. So there's a plethora of difficulties there. But to say that, and to be fair, Kieran, the apprenticeship system has 20,000+ apprentices in it. So it's not altogether on its knees. For those that are in it, there are huge difficulties. And we're working with our apprentices, as I say, to try and help them with those difficulties.
Yeah, 20,000 is a huge number. And actually, it's interesting. Some people on the text making a similar point to you. Apprentice pay is never good. The payoff comes later, says one person in 53106. Despite that, when it comes to apprenticeships, Brian, in the construction industry in particular, you know, while there maybe has an uptick in interest in the last few years, it's nowhere near the numbers we need if the government, for example, wants to hit housing and retrofit targets.
That is correct. And I mean, some of the aspirations that are held by government and by other people in industry would be that new apprenticeships will answer the problem as opposed to adding to the skill set that apprentices have. We don't do continuous professional development very well for craft workers. So when we deliver the apprenticeship and the individual goes out into the workplace, unless they propel themselves forward and look at additional training, the industry doesn't really provide it. And they kind of, there's a real fear that if you train people, they might leave you, you know, as opposed to if you don't train them, they might stay with you. So we have to get away from that mindset and we have to make sure that it's a lifelong learning path. But for the apprentices themselves, I mean, the first year rate of pay is quite poor. There's no doubt about that. But it's the buy-in of the apprenticeship model versus going to third level institute where you don't get a penny and you pay out a lot. And that is the trade-off. But with the electrical, mechanical and construction, for example, the rates of pay are legally binding. And they move swiftly from second to third. And fourth year is quite a good rate as well. But there's a very important point about these apprenticeships. In the likes of those three that I mentioned, and construction covering a multitude, carpentry, painting and so on, there's no... they're legally protected rates of pay. They are provided for and protected by the state. And I think what's important to say there is that there's no gender pay gap in those industries. So one of the bigger conversations that needs to be had is not about getting more apprentices, it's about getting more females into the apprenticeship system. Like 50% of the workforce isn't represented in craft apprenticeships, and we need to overcome that as much as anything.
Do we allow a culture of kind of snobbery to develop in this country when it came to apprenticeships? You know, post kind of making third level education free and a move towards a knowledge economy, which I think, look, everyone would agree in the long run has benefited Ireland when you look at the types of companies, you know, locating here. And you know, that really highly qualified workforce. But it was a consequence of that, you know, people began to look down their nose maybe at apprenticeships.
Possibly, but and if you look at that even further and say, if you look at the discussion that's had with parents of school children, it's about sending the child either to an apprenticeship or a third level institute as if that's to shape that individual for the rest of their lives. I mean, there's many people have done apprenticeships and gone on to different professions and have used that as a stepping stone. So, I mean, the fact that somebody does an apprenticeship or goes to a third level institute doesn't have to be the end of their education path and their progression in the workplace. So, you're right. I mean, the barriers around construction, for example, because some of the other apprentices are a bit more sought after in terms of prestige or whatever, but, like, the rate of pay for craft workers are on the move. They are going up. They are... you know, progressing, and we are doing that incrementally year on year. We're having the discussion, we're trying to make things a whole lot better, and we are making good grounds there. So it's a good time to be a craft worker. It's difficult to get through the apprenticeship to get there, and I appreciate that. And the unfortunate thing is, the apprenticeship that would have generally taken in and around 4 years, although it's not fixed at 208 weeks, it takes as long as it takes to become an apprentice. It has been exacerbated by all that's gone on with COVID and the delays in the system. So with that, you can see people saying that the gloss has gone off. You just do 4 years and you become an electrician or a plumber. It could be 5 years, it could be 6 years for some individuals. And that could be the same for an individual who may have difficulty with exams, for example. So, certainly, it's not so much snobbery, I think, as people need to embrace it and see that it opens more doors than people give it credit for, not just the toolbox. And yet again, these are strong professions where, not unlike yourself, people do get back injuries as well, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. A lot of people getting in touch. I'm trying to get my son, give my son an early start with me as a mobile locksmith. He's 19, full clean driver's license, insurance, €9,000 on a small caddy van. Getting him up early in the morning, the least of my problems. So thank you for the text, 53106. And thank you to Brian Nolan, Assistant General Secretary of the Connect Trade Union.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4. On News Talk.
Leave diesel behind with Toyota Hybrid Electric and cut down on fuel costs and harmful emissions. Our self-charging hybrid range has helped make Toyota Ireland's best-selling car brand in 2021 and 2022. Models are available for delivery now, including the Toyota CHR and the Corolla range. So talk to your dealer today about flexible payment options. You'll never take a wrong turn with Toyota. Built for a better world. Terms and conditions apply. Best-selling claim based on most recent monthly figures.